Grab your Bible and turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 12. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 12. Last week, we started a series entitled, What If? And we broke into that last week with the question, what if we really prayed? What would our lives look like? What would our families look like? What would our city look like if we really prayed? What would our church look like if we really prayed? Tonight, I want to carry on the same question, and I want to go in a different direction tonight, and I'll tell you in a moment what has inspired this. Mark chapter 12, verse number 41, and we're going to read verse through verse 44, and then later on, we will dip down into John chapter 12 and pick up a different passage. But here we go. It reads like this. It says, now Jesus sat opposite of the treasury, and he saw the people putting money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. And then one poor widow came, and she threw in two mites, which makes a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself, and he said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all of those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, but her whole livelihood. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And I just pray, Spirit of God, that you would speak to our hearts and give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you from the subject, what if we all gave generously? What if we all gave generously? Nothing will make you want to give everything out of your pocket like going to a third world nation and seeing people who don't have the very things that we have, the luxuries, the items, the toys, the gadgets that we have, and seeing how people live on so less around the world. That you almost come home with a sense of guilt for having, and you know, your first night sleeping back in your bed is kind of like, oh, you kind of feel bad because of that, because of, you know, the circumstances around the world. And the truth is, the Bible says, he that has been given much, of him much is required. And I believe that God has called us to be generous people. And so tonight, I want to ask you, don't shake your fist at me. Don't turn me off. Don't say, oh, it's just one of them money sermons or anything like that. I want you to hear my heart tonight, because what God defines as generous is much different than what you and I define as generous. And so tonight, we're going to look at that as we look at the subject, what if we all gave generously? Do you know that the subject of finances in church makes a lot of people's skin crawl? They absolutely cannot stand it. Now, I know that's not any of you in this room tonight, but we also know that through the years, people have misused or mistaught, even for personal gain. In staff meeting this week, we were reading from the book of Peter, and we're actually talking about with those who were shepherding the flock of God. He said not to do it with for greed or for the love of filthy lucre or anything like that. And obviously, people throughout the years have misused their positions to line their pockets and such. But tonight, this isn't one of those kind of messages. Tonight, I want you to hear the heart of Jesus as we really look at what the Scripture says about generosity. You know, I never really understood why people get so bent out of shape when you bring up the subject of finances in church. You know, the devil is a liar. Can I get an amen? What do you mean by that? I'll tell you. Well, one of the most misquoted scriptures in all the Bible comes from Paul's writing to Timothy. And he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And truly it is. When you begin to look at things, even in our own nation, all the corruption, everything, I always tell people, follow the money. Look where the dollar signs are, and you'll quickly find the answer to your problem. But I want to tell you, people oftentimes will take that and misquote it, and they'll say, money is the root of all evil. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it is the love of money. That's the root of all evil. Money is neutral. And in the hands of a godly person, it can do great things. In the hands of a criminal, it can do terrible things. And so tonight, I want us to get God's perspective. And like I said, I'm not really sure why anybody gets super bent out of shape, because is that not why we go to work every day? I mean, you know, we go to work because the Bible tells us that God wants us to work. The scripture actually says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Now, that doesn't fly very good in the middle of all of our social programs that we have to offer. But the truth is it's God's plan. He gave man a purpose in the garden, gave him hands, gave him feet, gave him a brain, gave him oxygen, commissioned him, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and replenish. So God gave him something to do in the midst of the garden. So work is God's plan. And so that's what all of us do. We don't go to work for no reason. How many of you know on payday we're looking for a paycheck? Can I get an amen? I don't know if you've ever worked for an employer where there was some bad stuff going on and at payday you didn't get a check. I actually have some friends who was working for a startup company in Arkansas, and they cashed their paychecks, and they bounced. How many of you know that wouldn't be good right there? Amen. That's no way to do business. But the truth is, everything costs. Car payments, soccer uniforms, utility bills, groceries, mortgages, on and on and on and on. And we just got through this hot summer, right? Hot summer. How many of you light bills scored up in the summertime? If you're not on levelized billing, they just kind of... Well, now that we're getting into the cold season, people are going to see the gas trickle up a little bit. And how many of you know, no matter how nice you are, how much you smile, or anything like that, when you go to OG&E to pay your bill, they don't take smiles, right? You can smile at them till you're blue in the face, and they will cut your power or your gas off and whatever, and they won't even think anything twice about it. And so, you know, we don't go up to the counter and say, well, you know, let us pray. No, sometimes we do have to believe God to get it in our hand, but the truth is, for them to be able to do anything with it, it has to come through currency. Here's what I want you to hear. Faith is the currency of heaven, but money is the currency of earth. There's always been currency since the beginning. In the Old Testament, they had, sometimes their animals were types of currency. We also see silver and gold. There are coins that date back to the days of Jesus. There were imprints and different things that were of value. And so monetary possession was something that was in the Bible all the way from the beginning. It just looked different from time to time. And so it's something that, you know, all of us understand in this earth, that you want something, you have to pay for it. Now, the great thing about Christianity is this, right? Salvation is free. I mean, it's the greatest thing in the world. Jesus paid for it. He paid it all. And we don't have to, we learned about this Sunday, we don't have to work for it. We can't do good deeds for it. It's by grace and grace alone, and God's restorative, transformative grace in our lives changes our heart, changes our mind, changes our spirit. And now we don't work to be right with God. We do things because of the outflow of our heart, because we are right with God. But even though salvation is free, friends, hear me. It takes money to do missions work. It takes money to hire staff. It takes money to meet the benevolent requests of the community. It takes money to put Bibles in the hands of people who don't have them, and materials and whatnot. You name it, it takes money. And here's what I know: when God's people are generous, there's never lack. Amen. But when God's people are tight-fisted, it can cause the ministry to be halted. There's an old story I heard several years ago. This is funny. And so there was this young boy, about 7, 8 years old, really observant young man, and his mom and his dad were starting to go to church. In fact, the mom had went to church for a while, and the dad had just now started to go to church. And, you know, the boy sat there quietly observing his father. And one day, I don't know what happened. The pastor preached something he didn't agree with, or it got under his skin, or he stepped on his toes a little bit. So they got in the car, and the little boy's was sitting there just talking to his parents. And all of a sudden, the dad began to just complain. I don't like that church. The preacher is too long. He's too young. I don't like the carpet. I don't like the song they play. It was too loud. And the son piped up. He said, Dad, you got to admit, though, it was a pretty good show for a dollar. In other words, he had observed him grumpily pull a dollar out of his pocket and crumple it up as he drove home in his new car. Now, I want you to think about something. It was Babe Ruth who said this: the loudest boos often come from the cheapest seats. Because the scripture says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this man had criticism in his heart and just one thing after another towards the things of God, because simply his heart was just not in it. Here's what we have to realize: when it comes to generosity, when it comes to giving, we're not just giving to a church, we're not just giving to a ministry or a person, we are giving to the Lord, is what the scripture teaches. We are giving unto the Lord. And beyond that, here's what I want you to hear. We come to church a lot of times, we lift our hands, we pray, and we sing, we read the words off the wall, and we say that's worship. And that is worship. But I want you to know that from a biblical perspective, giving is just as much worship as your singing. It is absolutely just as much giving as your worship. I want to look at another passage real quick. John chapter 12. Turn over there with me. And let's look at this together. And then we're going to get into some generosity things here in a minute. John chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. It says, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had also raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. And then Mary took a pound of very costly oil, spikenard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who had betrayed him, said, was this fragrant oil, why was it not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? And this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because, notice this, he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. See, when we understand what Jesus has done and how he saved our soul, it ought to make us generous people. Jesus is in the house of these people whom had experienced great miracles and great deliverance and great ministry from him. And they understood Jesus was going to the cross and he was about to fulfill his assignment. And this woman whom had been set free and delivered, she took what was costly to her. It was something that was just of precious value. And she took it and she broke her box and she poured it on the feet of Jesus. Every theologian, conservative and liberal alike, will tell you that that offering was the equivalent of 1 year's wage in her day. Now, I want you to think about what it would be like to give an offering to the Lord equivalent of 1 year of your salary in one moment. She took it and she poured it on his feet. And Judas looked, and Judas was upset because Judas was the treasurer of Jesus' ministry. He had the money box and he was the one who was collecting and counting. And he said immediately, could this not have been given to the poor? And the Bible says that he said that because he didn't care about the poor, but yet his hand was in the box. He was taking out. Everybody say he was taking out what was put in. So somebody would come along and they would put some money into the offering and then he would just come and take it out. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if our ushers were taking up the offering and one of them, and I don't want to plant any seed because this is not happening, but on the way back to the office, one of them just started stuffing it in their pockets. I mean, I think we're pretty forgiving and everything, but I think that, you know, that would be a bad deal, wouldn't it? I mean, it's embezzlement, it's theft, and that's punishable by prison. And we would be pretty upset because that's stealing. Jesus said he didn't love the poor. He did this because he was a thief. Why? Because he was taking out of the box. Now, what nerve did this man have doing this? Yet, I want you to think about something. The Bible says that Jesus knew one of them was a devil. He knew that. He said that at his last supper. He says, one of you that's sitting here is going to betray me. One of you is a devil. And when you begin to think about it, we could say, well, Jesus was setting him up for failure. Or what about this? What if Jesus was setting him up for a test? What if Jesus was testing his integrity? I want you to think about this. What if Jesus was testing his integrity by giving him a money test? Think about it. It's a big responsibility to handle the bankroll of Jesus and to be accountable for all of the things that came in and all of the offerings that people gave. What if Jesus was giving him a test? But I want you to know something. Money is a magnifier. See, it's not good. Money's not good. And money's not evil. It's a magnifier. In other words, if you take $1,000 and you put it into the hands of somebody who's godly, it's going to magnify their character, what they do with it. If you put that same $1,000 into the hands of an evil person, their character is going to be magnified. See, the truth is that God was giving him a test. And here's what I want to tell you tonight, that God gives each and every one of us a test concerning finances every time we get paid. God gives us a test. You don't believe me? We just went through a series on Malachi, and I didn't cover it at all, but Malachi chapter 3, when he's addressing the people, here's what he says. He says, will a man rob God? And he says, wherein have you robbed me? He said, you've robbed me in the tithe and the offering. And he says, return unto me, says the Lord. Bring all of the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. He says, and test me now, prove me now, wherein, says the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there wouldn't be room enough for you to receive it. Is that not what the Bible says? So, get this. These are not my words, so don't stone me. Jesus called Judas a thief for taking out of the box, right? But God calls you a thief when you don't put anything in there. Come on, let's get our shoes up tonight. Amen. That's heavy, but it's the way that God sees it. So I want you to think about it, because if we were generous people, I want you to think about it. Realizing that as a Christian, our financial situations are both a faith and a trust issue. God wants to be in control over it. And I see it all the time. You know, you have people, you know, their kids need a $100 pair of shoes for school. No problem. We'll figure it out. Whatever we got to do, we don't want to be made fun of at school. You know, we'll figure it out. We got to sell a pie or something. We'll figure it out. We'll make it happen. Then we have, you know, they need a cheerleading uniform. $350. You know, they got not just one, but a couple of them. Man, we're pulling our junk out of the closet. We're having a yard sale because we don't want little Susie not to be a cheerleader. Come on, am I talking to anybody? Men, let me get on you. Whew, $500 for a new gun. Man, that's not a bad price at all. I mean, whew, that's good stuff. But when a missionary comes through, we ain't got no time for that. Can I get an amen? I'm preaching good now. Hallelujah. Here's what's the truth. People do what they want to do. Amen. So, here's what Matthew 6:24 says, and then I'm going to get in my car and run real quick. Matthew 6:24. Here's what he says. No one can serve two masters. for he will hate the one or love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the correct translation of mammon is money. It's the God of money. So I want you to think about it. God wants us to put our faith and relationship with finances in the right place. He wants us to be generous. Why? Because God has been generous with us. Now, can we go back to our original passage? And I want to show you a couple things that I learned here tonight that I think will just be revolutionary to you. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Here's what it said. Now Jesus sat opposite of the treasury, and he saw the people putting money into the treasury. Many who were rich put in much. I want you to notice that word there, much. The rich put in much. Then the one poor widow came, and she threw in two mites, which makes a quadrant. And so he called his disciples to himself as a good teacher, using a sermon illustration. He calls them together, and he says, guys, I want you to look at this. The rich, they have cast in much. And he said, here's what I want to tell you. This woman has done more than all of these. She has given out of her lack, or out of her poverty, and they gave out of their abundance. Here's what Jesus was trying to tell them. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Generosity is not determined by the amount that you give. Generosity is not determined by the amount that you give. Okay, we're going to get into that in just a moment. But here's point number one, if you're taking notes tonight. Number one, Jesus was watching. Now, we like to think of Jesus being present in the singing. Oh, we feel his presence. We like to think of Jesus being present in the preaching and his anointing on the words of the minister. But the truth is, he was also present when they were giving. And he was watching. And he wasn't just watching, he was making comments. Are you still there? Well, here's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here's a scary thought. I want you to chew on this. Jesus is watching your giving. He's watching it. The question is, what is he saying about it? And here's the scary thing about the Lord that I don't know and other people don't know. God knows how much you spent on your last vacation. On that bass boat or those fake nails. Amen? Here's what I know. God doesn't mind if you have stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. Also, God doesn't want you to have skateboard giving if you got Mercedes living. Amen? Man, I'll tell you, that went over like a screen door on a submarine. Jesus was watching. And I'm telling you, Jesus cares about our giving. Why? Because he is the one who entrusted us with everything. You know, you and I don't own anything. We are managers. The Bible says that we've been called stewards. There are parable after parable in the New Testament of God giving examples through the apostles of how the kingdom of heaven is like a master who went away to a far country and he allotted unto his servants a portion here, a portion here, a portion here. And when he came back, he asked them, what did you do with what I told you to do? See, we get it messed up. We think it belongs to us. It really doesn't. And I'll tell you, you say, no, it doesn't, preacher. It belongs to me. Well, tell the bank that, because when you die, they're going to take that title deed and give it to somebody else. Doesn't matter how much land you have, how much money in the bank you have, if your car's paid off or whatever. When you die, it will not be in your possession any longer. It'll transfer to somebody else. The truth is, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and you and I are just borrowing this stuff for a little while anyway. So if we're borrowing it, we might as well do what's right with it. Amen? All right, let's go on. So Jesus was watching. And he saw the rich come in. And the scripture tends to insinuate that they were making a show. And they were, you know, making noise and they were doing their thing, as the Pharisees also often would do. And then here this woman came with two mites. It was all she had, and she threw it in, and she gave out of her heart. She gave out of her need. She could have ate on that on the way home. She could have stopped by the KFC of Jerusalem and got chicken on the way home. She could have put some gas in her cruiser on the way home. It wasn't her play money. Come on. It wasn't her lottery ticket money. It was her necessity money. But something inside of her wanted to give to Jesus, and so she gave it, and Jesus looked, and he started to make distinctions. He said there was the rich, they gave much, point number two. Then there was the poor who gave little. Jesus makes distinctions. You know why? Because all giving is not equal. All giving is not equal. Here's what I want you to see. Let's quickly look at this. Who determines what is generous and what is not generous? Jesus determines. Notice he says rich, much, poor, little. Now, here's what I want you to go back and see. Go back with me, if you don't mind, for a second, and let's look at this because it really is awesome. Verse 43, he calls his disciples to himself, and he said to them, "Surely I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who have given to the treasury, for they put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty, put in all that she had and her whole livelihood." Now, Jesus was criticized by Judas for receiving the offering from the woman who broke her box and put her ointment on his feet. And Judas said, "Well, that should have been given to the poor." And what did Jesus say? "The poor you have with you always, but me you will not always have. And she has done what is right, for she's anointed me for my burial." So I want you to think about this for a moment. In a lot of cultures, Jesus sees this woman come in, and she throws in all that she had. And I can just imagine people being upset with Jesus or whatever, because here Jesus is, took the last couple of coins from the widow woman. Oh, see, that Jesus, he's just like every other preacher in town, after her money. But you know, the scripture doesn't record that he gave her a refund. Amen. The scripture doesn't record that he chased her down and he gave her back her two mites. No, he received it. Why? Because Jesus always receives offerings given in faith. Why? Because an offering given in faith has enough power in it to transform a person's situation. And I'm sure that if we could read the rest of the story, this woman was not hurt by blessing Jesus. She was blessed by blessing Jesus. Come on, somebody. And let me tell you something, whenever we give to God, I'm telling you, you can't help but be blessed. You just can't help but be blessed. I want you to think about this. He made distinctions. But number three, Jesus decided the status. Jesus decided what was generous and what was stingy. He decided what was generous and what was stingy. See, us, a lot of times, the Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Do you remember when David was in the shepherd's field and his brothers were, you know, Samuel was looking to anoint the next king of Israel, and he went to Jesse's house. He had the horn of oil, and here all the kids begin to line up, and you know, I can just imagine Jesse probably lined them up in the order of how tall they were and how handsome they were and with the color of their eyes and their frame. And these kids were built wonderful, and the oil wouldn't flow. And so he said, "Jesse, there's got to be somebody else." And he said, "Well, you know, there's David. He's a little ruddy shepherd boy." And anyway, so he went out and got him. And you know the story. He said, "He is the one." Everybody was dumbfounded. Everybody was surprised because, you know, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. You know, we do that, don't we? I promise you, people are funny. Do you know Warren Buffett is like one of the like top three richest people in the world? And do you know he hasn't bought a new car in like a long time? He doesn't live in like an $8 billion mansion, and he eats McDonald's for breakfast every day. He wears an old ratty t-shirt when he's not doing business and just a pair of jeans. And you know, if you looked at him, you wouldn't think he had anything. And you know, you can go to the mall and you can see somebody strolling in the mall with the nicest shoes and the nicest clothes, and you might think they got $1 million. They ain't got nothing but a maxed out credit card. And we judge on the outward appearance sometimes, don't we? We say, man, that person looks blessed, and man, that person looks poor. But the truth is, oftentimes the value is beyond what we can see. And that's what we see in our passage tonight as we look at this passage in the Gospel of Mark. From the outward appearance, we'd see these men come in and give a big offering. We'll say, whoo, praise God. Man, the needs of the synagogue have been met today. Brother so-and-so, he just dropped $150,000 in the offering. Praise God, man. What a generous gift. It was a big gift, but nobody said it was generous. Because if you gave $150,000 and you're sitting on several million, that's not really generous. You hear what I'm saying? But this woman who had nothing, and she gave it all, and she laid it all out there. She gave one of them offerings that says, God, if you don't come through for me, it's going to be bad news. I don't know if you've ever given an offering like that, but I have. And we're not supposed to brag, and I'm not going to give you details and circumstances and situations, but I was in a service one time, young man, just married, hadn't been in church whole long, not in the ministry yet, and we went to see this pastor at this church, and he was visiting from Tennessee, from Chattanooga, and I was sitting up in the riser seats, and the Holy Spirit said, give, and it was everything I had in my wallet, and my checking account had like $2 in it. He said, give it all. Listen, at that moment, that last $20, $30, whatever it was, it might as well been $50,000. An offering given like that is generous. Because generosity is not determined by what you have left. Generosity is determined by how much it hurts when you give. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we shall move on from there. Here is something that's been said. There are three types of givers. There's the flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. To get anything out of a flint, you have to hammer it first. But you only get chips and sparks. To get water out of a sponge, you got to squeeze it and use more pressure. And the more pressure you use, the more you get. But a honeycomb just overflows with its own sweetness. The question is, what kind of giver are you? Are you a flint, a sponge, or a honeycomb? And I want to be the type of person that's like both of these people in this scripture, both in John 12 and in Mark 12. I want to be the generous woman who says, Jesus, you're worthy of it all. You can have it. It doesn't mean anything. I want to be like the woman who Jesus saved and rescued and delivered, who broke her box and said, Lord, here it is. You can have it. I don't, however, want to be like Judas, who's critical at other people's extravagance. Because here's the truth. When we look at all of this, the world could be a much better place if all of God's people were generous. I gave you a statistic a couple weeks ago about the annual cost in America of what Americans, not China, not Russia, not the Ukraine, not Canada, not Mexico, what Americans spend on Halloween every year. $8.03 billion. Let me ask you the question, what would happen? What if, we're in the series tonight, what if all Christians gave generously? Well, number one, the church would increase her influence. Number two, missions could be expanded and missionaries would not be underfunded. Number two, staffing things could be addressed and could be grown. Communities could be impacted and people could be blessed beyond measure. You know, the truth of the matter is that there's not a money problem in the earth. You know that, don't you? There's not a money problem in the earth. There's plenty of money in the earth. It's just in the wrong hands of the wrong people. And the people that have it are doing the wrong things with it. And I'm telling you, I personally believe that God's people are not more blessed than they are because God can't trust us with resources. The average American, if they get a raise or any increase at all, they increase their level of living, not their level of giving. Now, that's not everybody, and that is a blanket statement, but statistics bear out the fact, okay, that some 85% of people in the world, in America, live above their means, which means the requirement for us to live exceeds our income, which results in the debt that we incur on a day-to-day basis. And guess what? You can't be free to give if you're in bondage to the lender. Amen? That's biblical. The borrower is servant to the lender. So, the question is, what if we were all more generous? It would be awesome to see how the gospel could be taken around the world, how Bibles could be put in the hands of people who've never, ever heard the name of Jesus before and could be translated in their own language. It could be awesome how people could be free to do what God has called them to do. It would be amazing. Amen? I tell you, one of the saddest things is to see all of the renovations that all of the major amphitheaters and sports arenas, multi-million dollar makeovers they put in the football stadiums, and they don't blink an eye to do it. Why? Because people pay all that big money to go to those games. $100 seats, several thousand dollar, you know, season passes and what all that. And what breaks my heart is to see these little small churches, country churches, have to do a chicken dinner to fix the air conditioner in the house of God. Amen? You say, oh, well, Pastor, maybe that's just because the people don't have any money. That's not what the book of Habakkuk or Haggai says. He says, you've got pockets with holes in them. Because you go home to your tiled houses and your house looks wonderful and great, but you come to my house and it's terrible looking. So God said, here's what I'll do. I'll cause all of your stuff to blow away. You'll eat, you won't be satisfied. You'll drink, you'll still be thirsty. And what you have, I'll cause it to escape. People say money talks and it says goodbye. Some people, money, they get it fast as they get it. It's gone. Why? Because there's a principle of when you honor God, what happens? God blesses you. And I'm telling you, He blessed the woman. He blessed the woman with the mites. And He always blesses people who have a generous heart. So I'm saying that tonight in a very general sense. I don't know what you do or what you don't do. But the point I'm trying to say is this. God knows what generosity is for us. And we're coming into the season of the year where, you know, we're supposed to be thinking about thankfulness and Christmas and all of these things. And isn't it amazing that the greatest American holiday, which is Thanksgiving, I believe, I mean non-religious holiday, obviously Christmas and Easter, but the purest holiday of all of our American holidays is Thanksgiving. And we're supposed to be thankful for what we have, thankful for the blessings of God, and then we ruin it with Black Friday. We go from grateful to greedy in about 0.2 seconds. We forget so quickly that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I want you to think about that tonight. What if we all gave more generously? You can close your Bibles and stand up with me tonight. Hallelujah. Next week, we're going to continue this, and I'm going to give you a surprise on that one. So I'm not going to tell you what it is tonight, but we're going to have part number 3 of What If next week. But I want to challenge you in this room to be generous towards your family. Be generous towards the work of God. Be generous just in general. And live your life with an open hand towards people. If you see a need, you know, and you're able to do it, help somebody. You know, so many times we are trying to hold ourselves without letting the blessing of God flow through us and flow through us to other people. There's never more satisfaction you get in your life than when you, number one, lead somebody to Christ, and number two, you bless somebody, but especially somebody who cannot repay you. Such a blessing. Such a blessing. So I want to encourage you to be generous tonight.